Sports and Recreation Center on the campus of the College of Staten Island. It's time for the Dolphin Pod, the official College of Staten Island athletics podcast. With your host, David Pizzuto.
Austin Mick with a 9-point lead. Mick flying to the perimeter, gets it over to Latunji for three. Dolphins work it back up to 12 points.
In-depth stories, reviews and previews, interviews and so much more. It's all right here. And now for the Dolphin Pod, here is your host, David Pizzuto.
And welcome, Dolphins fans, to the Dolphin Pod. Today is Friday, October 9th, 2020. This is Season 2, Episode 5 of the Dolphin Pod. My name is David Pizzuto, broadcasting live from my home in South River, New Jersey, and, of course, being joined alongside Nick Duran, who is with us from his home in Staten Island, New York. Nick, how are you this week?
Doing very good, Dave. Ready to talk some sports and ready to talk some CSI.
Absolutely, and we have a great show lined up today because we are going to speak with CSI junior Spencer Melito, who joins us from the men's cross country and track and field teams. Spencer is a resident assistant in Dolphin Cove, so he's actually on campus. He's getting set for what should be his junior season, and he's not out there yet competing, Nick, but from what we know about Spencer is that he's training hard, eating right, and is ready to go whenever, whenever we decide to get back underway.
Yeah, and the one thing with runners is you don't really have an excuse not to be in shape or ready for the season. You know, with all these other sports and team sports, you know, you might not be ready because you couldn't get a basket or play catch or do something like that, but I mean, hopefully they're running and hopefully they're ready.
Yeah, and one of the things that we often talk about, too, is that, you know, track and field is one of the newer programs at the College of Staten Island. They're only in their third season as a varsity team at CSI, although they were club for a few years before that. And then you mix in the whole jump to Division II, and then, of course, COVID and the inactivity over the last few months, the suspension of the outdoor season last year, obviously suspension of cross-country this year. So we have a lot to talk to Spencer about. I'm really excited to do it, Nick, and it's the first time we're going to be talking about our running season, and I'm sure it'll spill over to the winter and the spring when track and field comes around again. But it's going to be nice to hear what some of the athletes are doing during this pause and inactivity, and I think Spencer's the perfect guy to talk to.
Yeah, 100%. I think, it's really fun talking to a sport like track and field and cross country, just because, you know, sometimes they don't get the spotlight they deserve. So to really get the inside scoop from them is great. And to get it from somebody as decorated as Spencer is in our program, I mean, we couldn't ask for a better guest today.
Yeah, terrific. And we're going to learn a lot more about the program, a lot more about what they've been up to. And of course, a little bit of insight into what will be coming up this winter with indoor season potentially, outdoor season potentially, and what they're doing in the meantime with cross country. So a lot to talk to Spencer on the opposite side of our first commercial break a little bit later in the show. Before we get to them, we do want to recap the week that was and the week upcoming for CSI Athletics. We know that centers predominantly around esports. So let's find out what esports was up to last week. We'll take a look now at the Weekly Rewind.
It's now time to rewind the week. Your look back into the week that was at CSI. Here's what you may have missed.
And we had another heavy esports week this week, starting on Friday, October 2nd, where the Dolphins got off to a hot start, dominating a 3-0 win over Hood College in the game of Overwatch, where CSI had a clean sweep in the rounds of Control, Assault, and Hybrid. In the opening round of Control, the Dolphins started with a perfect first round with a 100-0 score. In the second round of Control, the Dolphins won point convincingly just seconds into overtime to wrap up that point. Shane Druckers had a dominant performance with the round best 26 eliminations. The Dolphins were just as strong in Assault, starting on defense, and Heidi Dowd provided to be much to handle, not allowing Hood attackers into the objective area, and CSI only needed to capture a single point as attackers to win. In the third and final round of Hybrid, the Dolphins were able to capture their control point and escort the payload extremely effectively after great defense to start off the round. With this win, the Dolphins improved to a 3-0 overall and sit at the top of the overall standings. So moving on to our second game, the game of Valorant, on Wednesday, October 7th, the Dolphins stayed red hot, remaining undefeated after a 2-0 win to Farmingdale State. In the opening game of Bind, CSI was a bit sluggish coming out, dropping two of the first three matches. Things changed once CSI upgraded their guns and would rally off seven straight wins, gaining all the momentum and finishing the round with a score of 13-4. In the second map of Haven, the Dolphins got off to a great start this time by being on defense first. Kyle Tortosilla was exceptional on the map, amassing tons of kills and scoring an ace all on his own, taking down the Farmingdale State team this round 13-3. The Dolphins now remain ECC's only undefeated team in Valorant, sitting at the top with a 3-0 record.
Yeah, Nick, and what a great week it was for esports. I watched the Overwatch game. I watched the Valorant game a couple of nights ago, Wednesday night against Farmingdale, where they got off to a small disadvantage. They were down 2-1 in the opening game, and then they rallied off all those wins. And it was really exciting. And, you know, it's amazing, Nick, that we don't have a lot of action going on. It's just esports. But CSI, I mean, they're 6-0, 3-0 in Overwatch, 3-0 in Valorant. They're the only undefeated team in the conference. And that's saying a lot about these kids. It's saying a lot about the staff that helped put this together. You know, I think Sal Caruso in our first episode back said, you know, one of the positive byproducts of COVID and being remote and being kind of grounded at home has been CSI's ability to put this team together. And man, it's really showing off in incredible ways. They're doing such a great job to start the season.
Yeah, and nothing against them in any way, but anytime I check it, I'm like, really, we won again? Like again and again? It's great to see. And again, we're doing it in kind of dominant fashion. We're not really winning close games. We're starting off a little slow. But I think that's also when we start off on the offensive side. It looks like we're just such a great defensive and control team that once we're able to control the game, we really do. And, you know, big respect to Alberto and Sal for putting it together. And I guess they were being honest when they were on the podcast saying that they were ready for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's pretty easy to see that that's the case. And they'll, of course, start, they'll, of course, continue next week with a very busy week. We'll take a look at that in a moment. But other thing we should add is that just yesterday on Thursday, there was the ECC Players of the Week that were released as well. So we want to say a big congratulations. You mentioned his name. Shane Drucker was named Defender of the Week in Overwatch, and Andrew Schnoda was named Support Player of the Week in Overwatch. It's the first time either of those two have won a weekly honor in their career, and that's a great honor for them, a great feather in the cap, and certainly charges them up to play even better coming up.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot more where that came from. I think, you know, both players are getting better week to week, and I think that goes for the whole team as well. I think it's going to be kind of competitive of who's going to get Player of the Week, and I think that's something that the kids will kind of compete against, just like we do in other sports where we have many, you know, just very valuable players and you don't know which one is going to do it on which week.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it gets us motivated for what's to come in the world of esports. Let's take a look at that now by taking a look at the weekly preview.
The Dolphin Pod now brings you what's on tap at CSI with the weekly preview. Get in the game. Here's what's happening.
And once again, we are chock full of esports starting tonight, Friday, October 9th. CSI will wrap up their esports schedule against Farmingdale. They played them on Wednesday, as Nick mentioned, in Valorant. They'll play tonight in Overwatch. Game time is scheduled for 8 p.m. That's a recent switch. They went from 7 to 8. So that will start at 8 p.m. tonight in the game of Overwatch. As Nick mentioned, they're 3-0. They're looking to improve to 4-0 in that department. And then, because it's a holiday weekend, on Monday, Columbus Day, they'll be right back in action in Overwatch. They face Mercy College. That game scheduled to start at 7 p.m. So CSI, after they play Farmingdale on Friday, get Mercy again on Monday for another Overwatch match. And then on Wednesday, October 14th, play shifts to Valorant, where CSI will take on Hood College. Right now, prospective start time is 7 p.m. Be sure to check CSIDolphins.com for the latest there. But CSI faced Hood in Overwatch and beat them. Now they're looking to beat them in Valorant. And then we wrap up next Friday. By the time we have another episode of the podcast, CSI is back in action again in Overwatch when they take on Old Westbury. So by the time we come back on the air, Nick, they'll have three more games under their belt and looking to improve that overall record to 9-0. And pretty big games, because now, Nick, they start the second half of the season. So now it's not just about winning games. It's about positioning yourself for the playoffs. So a couple of big ones coming up on the schedule.
Yeah, this really reminds me of, our season when we get to like that January point where you're kind of playing, you know, a game every couple of days. And, you know, it gets a little hard to strategize and keep your head straight. But, really looking forward to the up and coming matchups, and I'm really looking forward to the Mercy one as well, you know, to try to keep our ECC records really high and, you know, try to continue to dominate the conference.
Yeah, and those will be big games for CSI's opponents too, because teams like Farmingdale and Mercy and Hood and Valorant, they're all kind of right now in that fifth, sixth position in the standing. So only top four make it a playoff. So they'll be hungry to win those games and be the first team to give the Dolphins a loss. So be sure to catch those games, CSI.com, Dolphins.com, for the latest start times there. But what Nick and I will do is turn our attention to the run game. It's cross country and track and field that will take the spotlight coming up after the break, as Nick and I will get a chance to speak to Spencer Melito, junior of the CSI men's cross country and track and field programs. We'll chat with him about everything regarding his teams, the COVID pause, and obviously his goals for the future. It's all coming up after the break right here on season 2, episode 5 of the Dolphin Pod. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
Champions know how to seize opportunities. When they see moments of greatness unfold right before their eyes, they push as hard as they possibly can, and then they push harder. Because the heart of a champion never settles, never quits, and never stops giving its all. We are champions. We are Division II. We go big, we give it everything we've got, and we win. On the field, on our campuses, in our communities, for our causes, in our careers. We rise to become champions in everything we do. We are Division II, and there are no limits here. We make our time count. We set our own path. We become champions on our terms. It's time to up your game, because we're here to play and learn. But most importantly, we're here to discover ourselves, our vision, our heart, our drive, to achieve every goal we aim for, because we want to be champions at the highest level, life. At Division II, the opportunities are here. Are you ready?
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
And welcome back to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com and from wherever you're listening to us today. We are premiering our broadcast on Friday, October 9th. This is Season 2, Episode 5. And our guest today is College of Staten Island junior on the cross country and track and field teams. It's Spencer Melito joining us. Spencer, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. It's great to be talking to you, catching up a little bit here. We'd much rather be watching you playing, but I guess this will have to do for today. I know you're on campus, right, Spencer? You're actually a resident assistant at Dolphin Cove, right?
Yeah, I just started in August, actually. Just got the job this year.
Yeah, and it's amazing because I was on a call with three basketball players today, one of them living in the dorms, and we were kind of like reflecting and thinking, you know what, like you've been on campus more than I have. I mean, I've been to my office maybe two or three times in the last 6 months or so, but you're actually there. What is it like on campus right now? 200 plus acres, and you know, you guys are pretty much it.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. We have like, I feel like there's more wildlife than there would usually be. Like I've seen so many deer. I've even seen like a skunk and a fox. It's kind of just like, especially like trying to get on and off campus, it's like difficult. They have this Everbridge app that sometimes doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. So had to get stopped at the front gate when going for runs and everything. So it's kind of like you're a little bit on lockdown, but not really. You're allowed to go out freely, but just a little bit weird. Yeah. No one around.
Sure, sure. And of course, not you know, walking to class. Obviously, all classes are online and things like that. You know, has to be weird. And, you know, you're from West Babylon originally, and you know, you've been here at CSI for a couple of years. What's it been like, you know, kind of leaving the nest a little bit, and, you know, understanding that we are still in a pandemic situation, and knowing that, you know, your family is still there, and, you know, close enough to go back and forth if you wanted to, but, you know, just being away from family and kind of being on your own in the dorms with no staff there, what's that kind of been like, you know, for you this semester?
It's been pretty much the same as like previous semesters. Usually I feel like I get to see my parents less this year, obviously, because we don't have meets.
Sure.
Like I would normally see them at pretty much every single cross country meet and every single track meet we'd be at. It's just weird, like, not seeing any of the coaches or anything, because usually you have that as well, like, to go to. Every single day you have a family to go to, like, every single day of the week. You know, you don't feel like – it's a little bit different here with, like, no one else, especially, like, they don't want you to really, you know, go out of your way to go train to other people at this point. So, like, we're kind of, like, on our own.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, being on your own a little bit, you know, can you speak to us a little bit about, you know, what Coach Andrew is doing, you know, to keep you guys as a team right now, and you know, hosting some workouts by virtually, you know, how has your season been coming along?
Right now I'm working towards a virtual half marathon in November. So I've been pretty much working towards at least since about March, because at that point I was working towards around 80 miles a week.
Wow.
During the summer, that was the peak that I got to. That's where my Coach Joe, actually, where the assistants wanted me at. I rerun even twice a day from time to time over the summer. Long runs around 15 miles. So it's been a little bit dialed down since coming to school, obviously having the job, working around 30 hours a week. So, but still around 50 miles a week. The long run's around 10. Yeah, just November 7th will be the day for the virtual half marathon. So I'm excited to see what happens to that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it sounds like the work you're putting in, it's going to be a very effective marathon. And, you know, obviously, like Dave said earlier, you're not running to class or walking to class at this point. How have classes been for you through this whole experience? Has it been harder? Has it been the same?
I feel like in some capacity it's a little bit harder. I think it's more difficult to focus, obviously, when you have a lot more things around you that you could do. I think it was more difficult being at home for the majority of last semester. I think being here now, I'm in my own apartment. Like, the RA is going to see your apartment, so there's no other distraction from, like, other roommates or anything. Unless, like, another person on my floor needs something from me. Usually it's a little bit better from that, but still, like, being on the internet and having all this other stuff that you could be doing other than paying attention to class is a little bit difficult, but it's gone well so far for the most part.
That's good to hear. And, you know, you mentioned the virtual half marathon. How does that actually work, Spencer? Do you get, like, a design course that you have to complete on your own, or how do you log in, check in with something like that?
It's pretty much, you do it through, like, whatever Ryan app you use. I was using Strava, but Strava wasn't really working too well for me, so I switched to Adidas Run.
Okay.
But as long as you complete it through that app and have the proof of that, it goes through, it's a Run Disney race.
Okay.
So, like, you can do it anywhere you want. It's not like a specific, course that you will do. I kind of have something mapped out at home. Mm-hmm. That I'm going to go back and do, because I know I won't be stopped by cars or anything. It'll just be in a trail and continuous for 13 miles. So I'll get a real test of what my fitness actually is. But I think for the most part, it's really an honor system thing in Sure. The grand scheme of things. So, like, some people could, I don't know why you do this, pay for the medal and then just not do it. But that's not cracked in my eye. Anyway.
Yeah, and you know, it's a good point you bring up, because what you're doing takes, you know, an incredible amount of like persistence for yourself. You know, there's nobody really there to say, okay, Spencer, come on, let's go out for a run. You know, come on, Spencer, let's go put an extra mile in, or, you know, let's do this second run of the day when you're tired. So you have to have a lot of discipline to really be a runner, especially at this level that you want to be. Can you speak to how you keep yourself disciplined? What keeps you motivated to want to do it every day? Like you said, 50, sometimes as much as 80 miles a week. I mean, that is a lot of discipline, a lot of stamina you need, you know, and a lot of resolve to do something like that. Can you explain, you know, how that works for you? How do you motivate yourself?
I feel like running for me is just a form of like self-care. So like, if I don't do it, I just don't feel like as good on that day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really a thing that like helps me mentally and just clear my mind. Like, even today, like, I had a couple of quizzes and everything. So going for a run after, going for 8 miles after that was a nice just way to get my mind cleared from a long day of class. This is something like, way back in like high school, I was actually cut from my winter track team as a freshman. So like, I've had motivation since then to be like one of the best runners I can be. And, I think I've came a long way, obviously, since then.
Sure.
But just, I want to get up every single day and make myself better.
Terrific.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. And you touch on self-care. You know, one question I really always want to ask somebody who's going to run a marathon is, how important is nutrition in that fact? And like, how up are you on your nutrition and intake stuff throughout the day to keep yourself going through all these miles?
Yeah, you definitely got to make sure you eat, because like, I know like there's some runners who just like won't just like they won't fuel themselves correctly. It's not, I don't know how, like, I'm not like a person who would count my calories every single day, but I'll make sure I get in a few meals. Yeah, my dinner is always grilled chicken. But like, always, it's basically the same three meals to me every single day. So like, I know what I'm eating and I know what works well with my body to go on runs and everything. Because I know like some runners won't even eat before a meet or anything. And I could never do that, because I know I need the fuel in me, or else, you know, I'm not going to perform to my best. It's just eating what you know. You just got to find what you can to make sure you can run the best. Like, you gotta find food that's not gonna make you feel sluggish on a run, and not gonna make you you know, throw up. That happens to some runners, which they throw up every single time after they run, and it might be something that they eat every single day and they don't even think anything about it.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, you spoke on being cut in high school, and sometimes I think that's one of the best and worst things that can happen to somebody at such a young age, because it puts such a chip on your shoulder. And you finished out your high school career so strong, and, you know, coming into college now, can you speak a little bit on the transition, how you felt coming in? Were you confident? Did you feel like you had to work twice as hard with still being cut in the back of your head? How was the transition for you?
I feel like at first, you know, I felt like really confident in everything that was going to happen. And then you kind of get into it and you realize that you go right back down to be in the bottom of the totem pole. So my freshman year was difficult from like multitude of reasons. Like, I was getting all like the CUNYAC Rookie of the Week awards in cross country, but I still didn't feel like I was running up to my the best of my ability, in my opinion. So like, I really like didn't think like that was that great at the end of the day. And then obviously like we had a different coach, and I wasn't always the best with that coach, and so it was difficult. By the end of the year, I started to figure it out, and then obviously the summer afterwards and going into sophomore year, I was able to, you know, start to figure it out a little bit more, and the time started to drop.
Yeah, and you mentioned the coaching change, Spencer. And, you know, obviously every coach brings their own strengths and weaknesses to the table, but I think one of the real benefits, especially for a runner like you, getting someone like Andrew in, Andrew has a lot of distance running experience. He was also a distance runner. That's kind of what he says is his specialty. What kind of a difference did that make for you? And, you know, since you've been in college now, this is going on year three, you know, in what ways do you think you've become a better runner through these last couple of years?
I feel like even my like discipline towards going for longer runs has increased, because even like when even during the summers previously, like I wasn't even getting 50 miles each week, and now I'm just doing it on my own. You know, I would have never thought that I would have been able to ever run 80 miles in a week or run 15 miles at once, or, you know, be like, oh, 15 miles isn't even that big of a deal. Some of the workouts that we started to do last year really like brought us into more of a competitive college team, from like standpoint that we started doing more mile repeats, we started doing longer distance workouts instead of sprints. We were able to kind of build our stamina up in that way, and not always using the track. Like our speed workouts or like our interval workouts weren't always on the track, because obviously in cross country, you're not going to run on a track all the time, so you don't have that to pace you. Mm-hmm. So we would go like Willowbrook Park and run around the lake twice. That would be about a mile. We'd run through the field around, well, now what is the soccer stadium, but before it was just a soccer field. Mm-hmm. And that was about 1,000 meters, a little bit over a half mile. That would really help us internalize the pace that we need to run during cross country meets to make us better runners overall.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, one of the things that Nick and I were talking about before you came on was, you know, the newness of the track and field program as well. I mean, obviously that's a little bit different than cross country, because you're actually on a physical track, but, you know, understanding that this was a relatively new program, did that kind of set you up for certain goals that you wanted to meet, like to set records that had never been established before? Like, what was the mindset of the team as a new program? Do you want to storm out of the gate, or are you just looking to put some foundational pieces in place?
I think we really just wanted to put foundational pieces in place. Obviously, you want to be great right away, but you also have to look at it from a more realistic perspective of, this is a new team and we have a lot of pieces that are young. Obviously, my freshman year, we were pretty much all freshmen. We had a couple upperclassmen. Obviously, we had Liam McMunn, who was a graduate senior. He had been there through everything, even all the CUNY X track championships for the most part. So he had a lot of experience and was able to help us all. But for the most part, it was a freshman team. We were just trying to make our names known and at that point compete in the CUNYAC. And obviously we wanted to win it all, but that didn't happen. I felt like last year, if we were still in CUNY, we would have had a really great chance to win everything. We made good noise at the ECC championship last year. Obviously, Jared won the 400 meter dash, which is pretty cool for everyone. I think if our distance medley relay team had been able to score, we would have been a scoring team. So we're looking pretty good. If we'll see, hopefully, if we get to go again this year, we'll be a strong team, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and you touched on, you know, you guys all coming in majority as freshmen, and you know, one of the hardest things is to literally build a culture and build a structure of a team without a bunch of older competitive guys on the team. How do you feel, you know, you going into your junior year now, how do you feel that all you guys have grown up and kind of took a leadership role and hold each other accountable? How is the overall leadership of the team now?
I think we're all able to like lead together. Obviously we'll have captains and everything named for both the distance, the sprints and the throws team. But I think we're all able to come together, and we know when people aren't working as hard as they should be, and as a team, address that all as one instead of just one guy being above everybody else. I think that really helps that we've all been together since the beginning for the most part. We can always help each other at this point. And obviously with some of the pieces that we have coming in, we can always help them, and it would make it easier on those freshmen for their transition at this point.
Yeah, because again, it's kind of your guys' program. You're setting it, and you guys are going to build it for the future. And I think you guys are doing a great job so far. But I think one question me and Dave missed out on earlier was kind of why CSI? Like, what led you to CSI, and what made your decision to CSI at the time?
Pretty much, it was one of the only DP schools that had engineering or physics. So it was a place and a state school, or well, a city school, but with the state school tuition. It was really appealing from that perspective to not have to pay as much money each year. I also applied to being the Macaulay Honors College, and that was something that I would have had to pay no tuition at all, just the housing. I missed that out by just a tiny little bit. I was actually waitlisted, but ended up in Verrazano, and with the ASAP program at the school, which with financial aid, I was able to get them, they pay the gap tuition then. So tuition was not really much of an issue. It was just paying for housing at that point.
Yeah, it's great. You know, great point about the affordability and how that weighs in and things like that. And obviously the choice of major, and we're going to get to that in a sec. You know, I want to go over another thing, Spencer, with regards to, you know, being kind of idle. And, you know, you said one of the reasons, you know, or one of the leadership activities is holding people accountable, you know, pointing out when people are not working as hard as they should be. And listen, it's real easy, I guess, in today's world to kind of, you know, slack off. And, you know, running is a very individual thing. You know, just the very nature of it almost speaks to doing it alone. How do you guys as a team, you know, kind of communicate right now? Do you get together for runs at all? Do you motivate one another, you know, virtually? Do you have team meetings? How's that dynamic been since this time where, you know, you guys are in however many different places at the same time?
We've been able to have like a few Zoom meetings, but not as frequent. We have a group chat, obviously, that we can communicate through there. If anybody wants to go for runs, they get together from time to time. They've been trying to get together most of the time. For me, I'm just being able to run at whatever time I can with my schedule at this point. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult for me to get with them all the time, but they're trying to get together at least a few times a week so they can have that work and be able to meet some of the freshmen as well. So everybody's able to gel together from wherever we do or are able to get back to practices, hopefully.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, Nick asked about the nutrition component. I'd like to ask a little bit more about the weight training. Is that, you know, I've heard a lot of different people think differently about, you know, physically lifting weights and you know, doing some of the, you know, some of the cardio work, let's say like in the tank, for existence, some of that work. You know, where does that kind of fit into your regimen of working out and training? Is that a major part? Is that a very minor part? And where do you think that fits in normally with your typical kind of distance running?
I'd say it's pretty important to stay healthy. At least getting something in twice a week, mm-hmm. whether it's core work or I have a kettlebell here that I can do squats with and all that, and I have a whole like distance strength training that I go through to try and keep healthy. I also have like resistance bands that I do each night before I go to sleep, so I can keep my shins healthy. 20 on each leg to try and kind of push your foot forward into it, just to keep the Achilles strong and keep the shin strong to keep from developing shin splints. That's like one of the main things with strength training for distance runners and mid distance runners, is in order to stay healthy and be able to strengthen those problem areas that could cause injury.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and you know, every week I try to put our guests on the spot for at least one question. So I need complete honesty here. We all know Coach Andrew's the distance guy. But you and him going head to head, who's winning that distance run?
Right now, I think I would.
I'm taking Spencer on that. I mean, come on.
I don't know. If you're going back at both our peaks, it would be pretty close.
All right.
I'd have to look back at his times in college. Obviously, no, online. I think at least like his junior and senior, I believe, are online. I don't know about foot.
I think you've set something up here, Nick. I think maybe when we do go back, we'll have to set something up between that.
I know Coach is listening, so I know he'll be up for the challenge. That's why I had to ask.
Well, I always had my high school coach who was like, we're going to race one day. And we just never did. Like, we'd be in races together, like, over the summer. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, this doesn't count, Spence. And it's like, yeah, okay. He always wanted to, like, run a 400 against me.
Oh, trust me. I tell our kids every day we're going to play one-on-one. We're going to play one-on-one. But it's not happening. And if I lose, it's not fair. So it doesn't matter. But something else I just wanted to touch on was kind of just some goals that you had for this up and coming season. You know, you've been training hard. You've been working on some different things. What are some things you would love to see translate to some of your scores or some personal achievements that you would like to reach this year or going forward?
If we do get back on the track in the spring, I'd love to break 16 in the 5K. It was going to be the goal for this fall, but we weren't allowed to do time trials and everything, so it kind of didn't work out the way it was. And obviously, with other people not being able to come on campus, that kind of fell apart, and we kind of just focused on the half marathon. In the future, I'd really love to qualify for the New York City Marathon. At this point, like, a half marathon time for that in my age group would be a 1:21. I think that's doable at one point. Also, if I were to run the full marathon, so that would be 2:53. So that would be some work to get there. I haven't ran the full marathon yet, but I think if I was in a true half marathon, I'd have a real chance at hitting that 1:21 time in this current moment.
I didn't realize that you had to qualify to run in the full marathon with that good of a time.
You have to, there's a way to get in there with like a drawing, but it's very difficult. Like, it's kind of like a lottery system. To guarantee yourself into the marathon, you have to run a qualifying time. There's certain age groups and there's different between women and men. For the men, like, I don't know where the cutoff is, but I believe it starts like 18 years old, till a certain age for the times, 2:53 for the full and 1:21 for the half. The New York City Marathon is actually one of the few marathons in the world that counts the half as well.
Gotcha.
To qualify for it.
Oh, that's interesting.
At least one, yeah, few majors.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, I never knew that. That's a new one for me. But yeah, so that's enlightening. You know, you had mentioned one of your goals, you know, breaking the 16-minute mark, and you know, you have the 5K record, the indoor record at 16:39. So you know, obviously, with continued work, that's doable. And I guess my question is more indoor versus outdoor. You know, I know that everybody has their preference. I'd like to ask what yours is and what are some of the difference, you know, with conditioning that you need, you know, for both. I know that there are certain tracks that have an incline, you know, to them. Do you prefer those over the flat surfaces? Can you talk a little bit about the nuances between the indoor and the outdoor season?
I would say I definitely prefer the outdoor season, mm-hmm, in every single way. Running a 5K on an indoor track is kind of like being put into a blender. Mm-hmm. It's half the distance, and obviously with the bank turns, that makes you obviously faster. There's a conversion between banked and flat that it depends like where a championship meet is held. If it's going to be held on a banked track, the qualifying times will be converted towards that. Okay. If it's going to be held on a flat track, the bank times will be converted towards the flat track times. I don't know exactly what the conversion is, but it's all in like the NCAA handbook. Mm-hmm. But obviously, also another factor of being indoors and running at distance races is the ability to breathe. Your mouth gets extremely dry inside. The armory, I would say, in New York City is worse than Ocean Breeze. Ocean Breeze is a little bit more open. It's a newer facility, obviously, mm-hmm, than the armory. The armory is over 100 years old. And the armory gets a lot hotter. It's more difficult to breathe in. The one problem with outdoor track is, it depends like how the wind is going to blow on that day. That's a really big deal. Especially when you're going to run 12 and a half laps around the track for the 5K or 25 laps for the 10K, if you're going to hit the wind each time, it's going to significantly take down your time.
Sure.
Especially early on in the season when it's really cold outside, too. I remember my freshman year, I ran the 5K and the 10K in one day at your sinus, and it was about 33 degrees outside. Wow. It was not fun at the end of the day.
Sure.
Extremely cold, extremely windy. and running the 10K in that situation by yourself, well, it wasn't quite by myself, but when you kind of just run the 10K just as, you know, just a race just to qualify for it later in the season, it's extremely boring. In a championship situation, there's more to it. It's more strategic, and I feel like it doesn't drag on for as long. But when you're just like, oh, I'm just going to run 25 laps, it's not like it goes on for a long time, especially coming off the indoor season when you're running on half the distance of the track.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, I forget if it was your freshman year or your sophomore year, but I remember like the CUNY championships were the outdoors. There was some brutal like rain, right? Or like torrential downpours. Oh, yeah. They were thinking about potentially postponing it. Was that your freshman year or your sophomore year?
That was my freshman year. I ran the 10K and the 5K that day too, and it wasn't as bad during the 10K, but I got out there in the 5K, and smartly I was like, oh, I'll put on a long sleeve shirt under it, so I'll be warm. And that lasted for two laps.
Right.
Like, I felt really good the first two laps. I was like, oh, I'm nice and warm. And after that, I got drenched and I was freezing and shivering for about an hour afterwards.
Wow.
It was not fun at all. And at that point, like, you're kind of just out there running and hoping you score a point at all. I don't know if I even did. I think I came up short of a, I may have scored. I can't really remember where I even placed in that race at this point. I just remember shivering afterwards, just having like all the warmups and everything in the world. I feel like Icon Stadium, whenever you go to it, it's just, well, at least for me, I've had terrible luck with weather there. Like, it's been extremely cold both times. In high school, I remember it being like 30 degrees in April. So that place has bad memories to me at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up an interesting point to me that, you know, obviously we knew, but it brings it into focus that, you know, when you're a runner, cross country, track and field, you know, you're basically a year round runner, because even when you're not in season, you're still training for a season. So how do you in particular kind of, you know, deal with pacing during the season to make sure that you're peaking during championship time, whether it's CUNY, whether it's ECC now, whether it's nationals, you know, moving forward ever, you know, how do you adjust yourself so that, you know, you're constantly peaking at the right time and not like in the middle of a season just completely gassed or you've overdone it? Like, how do you manage that?
At the beginning of the season, we usually do like longer workouts that are more like aerobic breaks in order to just build the base for us, essentially, so we can have that like long distance. We're doing longer distance runs, we're doing longer workouts. They're not as fast. As you progress through the season, distance is going to get shorter overall on the workouts, and you're going to bring more speed into play. So instead of doing like 8,000s, you'll be doing like 10 400s at like mile pace instead of something like that. Or like you'll be doing 800s at mile pace, or not exactly mile pace, a little bit slower than that, but you'll be trying to really rip a few 800s out to get that speed in you. That's where you want to be at the end of the season. You don't want to be doing those really fast workouts in the beginning of the season, because then you'll peak way too early, and obviously you don't want to do that. That doesn't make much sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll take some time off in between seasons, probably like a week or so, and you'll start back again trying to build the base, doing some longer stuff, doing some longer workouts. And as you go through, you'll start to get shorter again, start to get faster. We pretty much do that for all three seasons.
So, Spence, we talked about it earlier, you know, going back to back on races in a day and having two races. How do you prepare for the second one? Is it more of a runner's high, or what do you have to do mentally to get yourself going for that second race of the day?
Obviously, I feel like the first race, you gotta go for a cool down and get everything stretched out. You want to have something to eat in between, but not something like too big, just to make sure you have that energy up and everything. Basically, you kind of know like when you got to start getting ready again and get warmed up. But some of it, I guess, is a runner's high takes over. I feel like when you run that second race, your mind's kind of just like, yeah, I'm not feeling the best that I could be right now. And you kind of just don't have a lot of expectation for yourself. And sometimes those are when you run your best races. So I feel like some of my 3,000 meter races on the back of a mile earlier in the day were better than when I was just running 3,000 fresh. The times actually do show that, where my PRs in the 3K came after running something earlier in the day. Maybe it's just that you get your legs warmed up more from running a race earlier, and just, I don't know why that even happens. Like I said, like sometimes when you have expectations for a race, you run better. I don't know why exactly that happens.
Yeah, that's an interesting phenomenon for sure. You know, Spencer, we're winding down. We have a last, you know, a minute or so before we have to wrap up this segment. So I wanted to go back to something you had mentioned very early on, which was engineering and physics. And that's one of the things that really interested you about CSI, one of the reasons for coming. Can you tell us a little bit about your academic career and how that's tracking, and, you know, maybe some of your goals, you know, for graduation and then what comes next?
At this point, I'm an academic junior. I'm pretty close to the end of, at this point, honestly. I'm going to be a physics teacher. So I started school observations last year, actually, right before coronavirus. I was able to get all my hours in. Being back in school was a little bit different, but I really enjoyed being back. So the plan is with New York State would be to start student teaching in your last semester. So hopefully everything is good by 2022, spring 2022. That would be the plan. At that point, hopefully I can go back. I would like to go back to Long Island and teach. Obviously, I have to get the master's as well after everything, teaching New York State. So that would be done after I graduate from here. But the plan is right now that I should be on track to graduate in spring 2022.
Oh, that's great. It's great to hear. Another true success story when it's going to be all said and done, because, you know, you hold numerous records, obviously. You're one of our finest runners. And by the sound of it, you're probably, you know, forgive the pun, hit the ground running once we do get back on track. And I guess that's our final question, Spencer, is, you know, at some point, at some time, COVID will pass and you guys will be out there again, understanding that track and field is still a relatively new program. It's a relatively new coaching staff. The school is brand new to Division II. It's going to be all D2 meets from here on in. How do you want your career here to end? What do you kind of, you know, I know Nick talked about some goals, you know, personally with the 16-minute mark and the 5K, but as far as team is concerned, as far as you personally, how do you want to exit this program? How do you want to be remembered within it? And what are some of the team goals you have on the agenda?
I just like us to make a name for ourselves at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't really have to be remembered myself, you know. I think I've done good, but like, I think there will be a lot more after me that will do really great things and will really put this program on the map. I just hope to be a part of the beginning of it. Just hopefully remembered for bringing this program, just starting it up, and hopefully it's great for years down the line.
Terrific, terrific. And I know, you know, cross country and track and field in itself are kind of you know, sports that are usually not seen as often. You guys are not on campus as much, obviously, as the other sports, even, you know, for practice and training sometimes. But I know there's a lot of excitement around your program. I know speaking to Athletic Director Charles Gomes, even our president, talking about some of the advancements we've made, and to hear, you know, sometimes him talk about, you know, what we've done at a meet and how we scored last year compared to this year and stuff. That stuff's good to see. There's a lot of eyeballs on your program, and just getting a chance to talk to you, Spencer, really gets us excited about your career, your teammates, and keeping track on you and you know, admiring what you guys do. And, you know, good luck in that half marathon. We really wish you the best with it.
Thank you so much. It's great talking to you guys.
Absolutely. So that is Spencer Melito, Jr. of the CSI cross-country team, indoor and outdoor track and field team as well. Mid-distance, distance running is Spencer's specialty, and of course, an entire group that's devoted to getting the team in great shape and getting ready to hit the ground running once we do get back out there. So we want to thank Spencer for joining us, and when we come back from this commercial break, Nick and I will return to wrap up Season 2, Episode 5 of the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com.
In NCAA Division II, student athletes leave a lasting impression on their communities. That's because Division II student athletes want to make a difference and truly be part of their surrounding communities. Through community engagement, thousands of student athletes from various backgrounds interact with community members who view them as role models. This interaction leaves a positive and perhaps even life-changing impression on all those involved. In Division II, we rise to the opportunity and make community engagement ours.
Welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, right here on CSIDolphins.com.
And welcome back to the Dolphin Pod right here on CSIDolphins.com. And from wherever you're listening to us, Nick and I just wrapped up a great conversation with Spencer Melito. And Nick, I think you would agree, Spencer, another example of a great student athlete here at the College of Staten Island, obviously. Tremendous student, just missed out on the Macaulay program, but doing a great job in his classes. Always a scholar athlete for us, and you could tell just by his work rate what a tremendous athlete he is as well.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, he brought up being an RA as well. I mean, he's such a well-rounded kid all around, and you could just tell the drive that he has, and it shows in his resume so far, and only better things to come in the future. I just hope he gets on the track this year so we get to see him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm almost ashamed to say that Spencer does more work in a week as far as physical activity than I've done in the last year or the last least 6-7 months.
Both of us, Dave.
Maybe put together. Who knows?
Yeah.
No, but that's great. It's really, really impressive. And you know, I'm still fascinated by the fact that you can get up in the morning and do that much work and run 50 miles a week when, again, you don't have a roommate saying, come on, Nick, let's go. Let's do that run. Or, you know, don't eat that donut. You know what I mean? Eat this instead. You know, like, I'm just amazed that somebody can have that much self, you know, fortitude and direction and discipline. So I'm in awe. I really am. And Spencer's just one of many who are like that. So I'm really excited. I'm even more excited to see him run and to see him do what he does. So I'm thankful for the conversation we had with him for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes you good at the sport is just the dedication to it and the everyday drive. Because again, like I can't wake up and just say I'm going to run a half a mile, and he's doing quadruple that. So just to think that and to do it on a daily basis, it's a lot of respect for track and field, cross country, and all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know somebody else who's in awe of the things that Spencer does and who appreciates it is our athletic training staff. And Allison Ocasio, our head athletic trainer, will join us on next week's episode of the Dolphin Pod. So we can't wait to speak to her. You talk about impacts from COVID and things like that. Allison has been one of the busiest people at CSI devising plans for resocialization, COVID testing, and of course, you know, rehabilitation during this time with some of our athletes. So we got a tremendous amount to talk to her about next week, and she's coming up on the show. And Nick, until then, we got a lot of esports. We got a chance to talk some running, and we'll get ourselves ready for Allison next week.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the best ones, especially for, you know, all the student athletes that are active right now. So, you know, any coaches listening to this wrap up right now, get your kids on the podcast for next week, because, you know, a lot of questions will be answered and a lot of layouts will be laid out for their going forward.
Terrific. So this was a great show for us, for everybody affiliated with it, for Spencer Melito, for Nick Duran. I'm David Pizzuto, wishing you a great rest of the weekend. Go Dolphins, and we'll see you next week right here on the Dolphin Pod.
You've been listening to the Dolphin Pod. Remember to check us out next week when we bring you a brand new show. And check out our archive broadcasts throughout the year at www.csidolphins.com/podcasts. or on any of the broadcast channels like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Breaker, and Google Podcasts. If you have questions, comments, would like to be booked on the show, or have an idea for a guest you'd like to see on the show, be sure to leave us feedback and catch all of our shows right here at csidolphins.com/podcasts. From all of us here at the College of Staten Island, thank you for listening to the Dolphin Pod.